is The Fantasy Show with Sho Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's Sunday morning, and you know what that means. It's time for The Fantasy Show, coast to coast to coast on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Good morning, Canada. Week 3 is here in bulk. Sho Ali, Matt Marchese alongside you to break down each and every game for your fantasy football lineup, your start sits, injury news and notes, and of course, your texts on the People's Text line at 590-590, name and location. You can also tweet us anytime you want, SNS Ali with two L's and Maddie Mar 89. Mr. Marchese, how are you this rainy Sunday morning?
I'm tired, buddy. It was one of those nights. It was just one of those nights.
You know, that's going to
7 o'clock came around real quick this morning.
It's going to be like that for the next at least like 15 to 20 years, I'm guessing.
Forever. I heard forever. That's what I was told. Once it starts, you never go back to normal sleep pattern. So it's great. Yay, kids.
I think I'm a couple of years off from that. So we'll have to get the full skinny from you when that happens, Matt.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll tell you right now, you don't sleep. Whenever people say that, they aren't lying. You do not sleep. Yeah, or sleep well. How about that?
I was going to say, yeah, maybe sleep well. I've heard, I think like most of our coworkers at Sportsnet, like almost all of them, I think, have kids or have gone through the young kid part of life. So I don't envy you. I'll say that.
I don't mean to get sentimental on a Sunday morning because it's football Sunday, but it's definitely rewarding because as frustrated as you get, you just look at them and you're like, it's not so bad, but you're lying to yourself. It is that bad. It's that bad. It's worth it, but it's that bad.
I wanted you to get to the, I still love my children part of the morning before we moved on. That's right. I wanted to just get you in that headspace before we moved on. Matt, I wanted to, before we move on really quickly to Thursday Night Football, I want to talk about Steelers at Browns. We got to some injury news and notes from Rappaport and Schefter and the various insiders across the industry. I wanted to play this for you. I feel this way about most of our fantasy players on any given week, even when they play well. Sometimes this is how I feel. I saw this on Twitter and I thought, give me a good laugh.
All we do is sit around here and guess what a bunch of little are going to go and do out there. Then we come back at halftime and we complain because they didn't do exactly what we thought they'd do. We don't know. Of course we don't know. We're not in the locker rooms with them. We're not on the pitch with them. We can't look them in the eyes and encourage them to be better than they ever thought they were capable of being.
Man, I'll tell you, the one guy I wish we could encourage to be better than he ever thought he was capable of being is Travis Etienne. Woo! I'm benching Etienne for the foreseeable future, I'll say that.
I like that because, I mean, listen, what we saw last week, again, the usage was startling for Travis Etienne. The guy that I'm actually benching today, since we're talking about high expectations, mm-hmm. I'm benching Aaron Rodgers for Jared Goff. I cannot believe in 2022 that I'm saying that.
For half a second, when you were saying like I thought you were going to say the Jimmy G, and I thought, wow, that really is a bold take. But Jared Goff, you know what? Jared Goff has been pretty fantasy relevant this year so far.
No, he's been good, and it's a 2 QB league, so it's not even super flex. And I mean, we'll get into it, but I hate that matchup for Aaron Rodgers. I'll give you guys some stats about Aaron Rodgers' career matchups against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's not friendly for Aaron Rodgers. So yeah, I'm sitting Aaron Rodgers. It pains me to say that because I enjoy watching Aaron Rodgers play, and the fact that he's on multiple teams that I have, that's very, very, very concerning for me.
Yeah, despite the fact that he looks like Nicolas Cage from Con Air, he is still a magician with the football. But Packers at Bucks today. We get to that one towards the end of the show, and of course, Jared Goff's Detroit Lions will take on the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota, I believe. We'll get to that one in the bottom of the next hour. But before we do, let's hit up Thursday Night Football, the Thursday night reaction between the Steelers and the Browns. Some pretty big performances on Thursday night, Matt. I mean, Nick Chubb did his thing. The guy's a stud. But the two Browns performances that really stood out to me, as I imagine they would stand out to most, David Njoku, 9 catches, 89 yards and a touchdown. And Amari Cooper, 7 catches, 101 yards and 1 touchdown. I mean, are you going to try and get either of those guys in lineups on a relatively weekly basis going forward, or are they still matchup based for you for now?
Well, I said Njoku should have a good year when we started, you know, when we did our first show, because of the way that Jacoby Brissett targets the tight end position. And the way it worked, I mean, I was 2 weeks late or 3 weeks late on my prediction, but, you know, I'll take it. I think both of these guys are startable just because there's nobody else to throw to. I mean, maybe, is David Njoku going to get 9 catches every week? No, he's not. But he's athletic enough. He's able to get open and create separation that, you know, it's you can roster him. Like, there is a low floor there, but we've also seen what the ceiling is. As for Amari Cooper, he's clearly by far and away the best wide receiver on this team. And it's the second straight game of 100 yards. Jacoby Brissett actually looked like a startable quarterback in that matchup. And I don't think that that's a sign of things to come for Jacoby Brissett. There's a large enough sample size with him. We know what he is, but in that game, he looked great. Like I said, there's not much else to throw to in Cleveland. I like Donovan Peoples-Jones, but I feel like that's going to take a better quarterback to make him better. David Bell's a rookie, and let's face it, this offense starts and stops with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And Hunt didn't have a great game, much to the chagrin of myself, in our matchup this week in the fan league. And of course, you had Nick Chubb, who is basically Mr. Automatic at this point. I dare say that Nick Chubb is the best pure runner in the NFL right now. He looked incredible. And this is actually really, it's so bad because the more Chase Claypool opens up his mouth, the more I hate him. I believe that he was quoted as saying, yeah, we would win with Nick Chubb too. Ooh, that's not good for Najee Harris, who wasn't great funny. And then had that stupid fumble at the end of the game, which ends up, I'm sure that's going to cost people weeks.
Oh yeah, that and the Browns defense/special teams getting the scoop and score off that fumble at the very end of the game. They ended with around, I want to say like 10 points instead of what would have otherwise been probably like 2 or 3 points. Like a pretty pedestrian defensive effort from both teams. But that scoop and score from the Browns defense, I have no doubt. I think you're spot on. That's going to decide some weeks, absolutely, because they were a popular streamer, I would say, this week, the Browns defense. So we'll see if that it does affect anyone's matchup. And yes, you and I are playing each other this week. I will say in the fan league, so you have Michael Pittman Jr. and J.K. Dobbins, both of whom were, you know, it was kind of dicey. Would they play after missing last week? And of course, Dobbins hadn't played all season. Pittman missing last week with the quad injury. They both look like they're going to play today. I have both of those guys also going in my like big money league. So, but it's kind of one of those, like, I'm torn a little bit. Do I want them to succeed, or do I want them to suck so I win at least one of these matchups? I think I'd prefer them to ball out. I think that's where I'm leaning today.
Well, have them ball out and then the rest of my team just fall into shambles like they normally do. Are we going to talk Pittsburgh? I guess we should talk.
Yeah, let's do it. Deontay Johnson, Matt, 11 targets, 8 catches, and 84 yards. He continues to be, no matter who's at quarterback, I can't imagine this is going to change too much with Kenny Pickett, but if Kenny Pickett ever does become the starting quarterback, you think he will eventually, but Mike Tomlin says no for now. But either way, no matter who the quarterback is back there, Big Ben, Mitch Trubisky, and yeah, I imagine Pickett, Deontay Johnson, he gets the ball. That's just how it is. He gets the ball.
Target monster. You know, the stat that I gave out before the season started, he has the second most targets in the last 3 years, aside from Davante Adams. He's a target monster. He's on pace to break his career high in catches and targets, and he's on pace to fall just shy of his career high in yards. The touchdowns haven't been there early, but like, Deontay Johnson's not going to go donut this year with touchdowns. I think he had like 8 last season. For me, I do think that Kenny Pickett starts after the bye. I can't remember who they play after the bye, but it's certainly a little bit more of a layup than what they have. The Steelers, they have the Jets next week. They have the Bills. They have the Dolphins. They have the Bucks, and they have the Eagles. Not necessarily in that order, but it, to me, it looks like Kenny Pickett week 10 against New Orleans after the bye.
Yeah, that's
after the bye makes the most sense. Yeah. The Dolphins did this with Tua. It didn't matter how well Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing. That was where they had it. That's about half the season. Listen, if Mitch Trubisky goes on a run and they win 4 of 5 here, then we're having a different conversation. But of those 5 games, I can see the Steelers winning one of them, and that's the Jets. And that's not even a layup considering what we saw against the Browns last week with the Jets. So I think it's week 10, but we'll see. The one interesting thing was George Pickens was involved in the offense a little bit more.
What a catch.
He had 7 targets.
What a catch.
That catch is like, there's, you can't even be hyperbolic about that catch.
Yeah.
There are not like the adjectives to describe that catch. There's not one of them that you'll use that someone will go, that's a little bit too over the top, isn't it? No, it was that incredible. We know you and I talked about this before the season started. George Pickens, or actually when the season started, George Pickens was probably drafted a little bit too low in the real NFL draft. And that to me, the 7 targets, that to me is a sign that they're going to get him more involved. I think he's going to end up being the wide receiver 2 on this team before short order, because I just don't think that Chase Claypool is it. And the Najee Harris fumble, like we talked about, that's going to change some weeks. And he just hasn't been efficient. Like, that offensive line is not good. Like, Najee Harris does feel like a very touchdown-dependent, like, high-end RB2 at this point, does he not?
I would say so, yeah. Kind of. It's unfortunate, right? Because you probably spend a pretty high amount of draft capital on him.
Yeah, and Jalen Warren, like, I don't think that Jalen Warren's going to be taking a ton of touches away from Najee Harris. I think that would be foolhardy to say. But Jalen Warren, when he got the ball, looked very good. And I just wonder about not only the workload for Najee Harris, but how much of that Liz Frank injury is still lingering right now. And they're being very cautious about it.
Yeah, exactly. I do think that a quarterback change that you would hope makes the offense a little more efficient would probably help everyone, right? I feel like it's just the kind of rising tide that would lift all boats. But like you said, I think the Steelers' schedule, it's not easy. It's, like you said, Jets next week versus Jets at home, at Bills, versus Buccaneers, at Dolphins, at Eagles. They have the bye, and then they take on the Saints, Bengals, and Colts after that. So, I mean, it's not that much easier after the bye, but still, it's I would say a decidedly easier schedule in November than it is basically until then. So we'll have to see if the Steelers' fortunes fantasy-wise turn around at all, because there are a lot of fantasy-relevant players on that offense, Deontay Johnson, Najee Harris, and I dare say even Pat Freiermuth to a certain degree as well, who was basically shut out until garbage time at the end of that game. So we'll have to see how the Pittsburgh offense operates moving forward. Some injury news and notes before we start our start sits. And don't forget, you can text us at 590-590, name and location on the People's text line. Get as many texts as humanly possible at top of the following hour. But injury news and notes. Let's see. Adam Schefter saying Saints running back Alvin Kamara listed as questionable. He's expected to play against the Panthers. James Conner, Cardinals running back, is going to test his ankle pregame, but he is tracking to play against the Rams. Jerry Jeudy listed as questionable for Sunday night due to a rib and shoulder injury, is on track to play against the 49ers, but he wants to see how it feels in pregame warmups. Bills wide receiver Gabriel Davis, listed as questionable due to an ankle injury, has said he will play versus the Dolphins, and that remains the expectation. Randall Cobb going to play against the Buccaneers. Christian Watson not going to play, hamstring injury. Let's see. Leonard Fournette, he is expected to play against the Packers, which is good news. Although I would recommend rostering Rashad White, Matt, at this point in the season. Like, he probably should not be unowned if you are a Leonard Fournette owner in terms of handcuffing players, I would say.
Oh, Rashad White is one of the more elite handcuffs, just because we've seen what Leonard Fournette's usage is. Giovanni Bernard just went on the IR. So it's basically Rashad White and then Keyshawn Vaughn. And Rashad White was the best pass-catching running back in this draft. There's a reason why the Bucs took him in the 3rd round. Fournette's snap percentage is like 80%. Like, he's getting a monster bell cow workload. And if he ever goes down... And Leonard Fournette doesn't play every game. That happens all the time. And Rashad White, at the end of the day, Rashad White is a great hold, because you can also trade him for valuable pieces if Leonard Fournette were to go down. So it's not only about keeping him in your lineup, but it could be a situation where maybe you have a bunch of running backs and you really desperately need help at wide receiver or tight end or even quarterback. He's a great piece to have just in case Leonard Fournette goes down.
It's an interesting dichotomy in terms of how do you think Brady is going to handle this? Because historically, Brady doesn't use a lot of rookie running backs. Having said that, he also likes to dump the ball off to the mobile James White type running backs as well. So I'm curious to see if Leonard Fournette were to ever go down. I'd be curious to see what the usage of Rashad White in the passing game is. And I mean, with all the injuries, I mean, this is another note from Schefter. Three Bucks wide receivers, Julio Jones, Russell Gage, Rashad Perryman, as listed as questionable for Sunday against the Packers. Gage and Perryman are expected to play per source. Jones will be tested in pregame warmups to determine whether or not he can play. Of course, Mike Evans suspended for one game. That suspension was upheld, so he will not play this week. And I believe Chris Godwin is still out, right? So I think with that being the case, like, just not a lot of pass-catching options for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I got to imagine, regardless, Rashad White is going to be worked into a teensy bit. But if Leonard Fournette ever did miss time, then, yeah, you're going to want Rashad White on your roster at the very least. Chargers QB Justin Herbert expected to make a decision during pregame warmups about whether to take a pain-killing injection in his fractured rib cartilage to try and play versus the Jaguars. I'll just say this about Justin Herbert. A, he's one tough SOB. At the same time, Matt, he better not be taking the, as far as I'm aware, it's the same team doctor that gave Tyrod Taylor the injection a couple of years ago. So maybe Justin Herbert should be a little careful about taking some injections this morning.
Yeah, and that doctor's also being sued by Tyrod Taylor. So that right. Tells you everything that you need to know. Do we really think he's not playing? I think he's playing. I'm starting him in one league just because I'd rather take the chance on the late game. And then if it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen. There's nothing I can do. It is what it is. But I mean, if your other options are Jimmy Garoppolo or if you have like an Aaron Rodgers, which you probably don't if you drafted Justin Herbert. Marcus Mariota would be an option because he's playing in a later game. Geno Smith, because of the matchup against the Falcons, would be one that you could keep an eye on. So you got to really, really keep an eye out. Like I think that he's playing because I saw that throw that he made to DeAndre Carter. Ooh. With that rib cartilage without rest and without a shot. Yeah, I think he's playing today.
A little tease in the text line. Jesse from Woodridge texts in and says, good morning, guys. I listen to you every Sunday morning. Is Justin Herbert starting today, or should I start Mariota? So those are the kinds of questions we're going to be dealing with. I think you just listed Mariota as one of the guys to keep in mind. So I think Jesse will be okay if his backup option is also playing at the same time. It's just like the ones that I think you're going to have trouble with are, do you roll the dice on hoping that Justin Herbert plays? And I tend to agree with you. I think he probably will play because the guy's a gamer, and I think he's the kind of player who I'm sure will push very, very, very hard to play. But at the same time, I do wonder if you're starting, like, if your option backup-wise is Jared Goff, let's say, and Jared Goff is playing the Vikings, like, do you roll the dice on hoping Herbert plays, or do you just stick Jared Goff in your starting lineup for 1 p.m. Eastern?
I think in that case, again, like you said, it depends on the backup. If it's Jared Goff, I'd probably start Jared Goff just to be safe, because I think that there's lots of fantasy points in that game. Unsurprisingly, both teams I don't think are very good defensively. They'll allow a lot of points to play nice and fast. So I think that Goff is fine in that spot. I think Mariota is fine in that spot as well. Athletic guy, because he gives you at least some sort of a rushing floor. But outside of that, like, if it was between a hurt Justin Herbert and Geno Smith, maybe, I'd probably lean Justin Herbert in that case.
Yeah, I think I probably would too. Okay, let's get started on our start sets. We'll continue to sprinkle in the injury news and notes throughout the rest of the show, but let's get started with Saints at Panthers. And I like to use the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde examination, the comparison, pardon me, when it comes to Jameis Winston. We got the Dr. Jekyll version of Jameis in week one. We got the Mr. Hyde version of Jameis Winston last week. I'm not sure what we'll see from Jameis Winston this week. He is expected to play with that back injury, but I mean, Alvin Kamara is back, which is good, certainly. No Taysom Hill. He is not going to play. So
thank you.
I know.
Thank you.
The Fantasy Grinch takes 1 week off for us, thankfully, which is very nice. But having said that, apart from, I would imagine, Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, are you really starting anyone else in the Saints this week, Matt?
The one guy that I'm starting him in one league because I'm a little bit hurting at wide receiver, but the one guy I'm very interested in, and I think I would be comfortable with him in a flex spot, is Chris Olave. He had 13 targets in week two against Tampa, translated to 5 catches, 80 yards. He also led the league in air yards last week, which is the amount that the ball travels on your targets. And that is not insignificant because that means that they're using him all over the field. They use him on deep shots. The question just becomes, do you trust Jameis Winston enough to get Chris Olave the ball? There's also an ankle injury that I read that Jameis Winston is dealing with. So yeah, outside of Kamara, Thomas and Olave in a flex, like if you're really hurting in a PPR league, Jarvis Landry could be a little bit of a punt play. He had a great week one, not a great week two, and he only played 68% of the snaps. That was the lowest of the three wide receivers that New Orleans has, albeit it wasn't by a lot, but clearly in this offense, Michael Thomas and Chris Olave are the guys to focus in on. And if Jarvis Landry pops, it's going to be the week that you have him on your bench. And when he doesn't, it's going to be the week that you have him in your lineup.
Yeah, Michael Thomas, especially too, with no Taysom Hill, 11. So far in this season, he has 17 targets through 2 weeks. He has 11 catches, 122 yards, and 3 touchdowns in 2 weeks. Now, that's probably the touchdown rate, probably a little unsustainable, but I mean, Michael Thomas certainly looks like he is, well, at the very least, he looks like closer to the guy who led fantasy rosters a couple of seasons ago than the guy who has been injured more often than not last season. So that's definitely good. And I imagine with no Taysom Hill, you're probably going to see a little more underneath passes to guys like Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry. On the Panthers side of things, Christian McCaffrey, you're starting. I don't really think you need a lot of us to tell you to start DJ Moore, but are you concerned about DJ Moore at all in two games with Mayfield at QB?
No, I, if I'm not mistaken, DJ Moore is an historically slow starter, and then he really picks it up. He seems to always be the buy low candidate after 4 weeks. I did a thing on him in one of my articles for Sportsnet last year, and it, or the year before, I can't remember what it was, but DJ Moore for the first 4 weeks has struggled basically every season. And then after that, he turns into like this target monster and catch monster that we all expect. I'm not ready to hit the panic button on him. I'm a big DJ Moore stan. So I'm not concerned. The guy that came back down to earth was Robbie Anderson last week. 3 catches, 32 yards, 3 targets. I mean, he's always going to be a boom or bust guy. Last week was certainly the time to trade him if you could get as much value as humanly possible for him. But he's a guy that I'm absolutely keeping on my bench. And like you said, we know you're starting Christian McCaffrey. You know you're starting DJ Moore. And then after that, it's pretty much a tire fire.
Yeah, there's not a lot of fantasy options for the Carolina Panthers. Maybe things change for, I don't know, Shai Smith or Ian Thomas, but I'm not gonna hold my breath. Texans at Bears is the next one here, and again, the hype train on Damian Pierce has not been maybe as advertised. Having said that, he did take the primary back role in week two. He had a 62% snap count versus Burkhead's 37% snap count. I think, generally speaking, I think the opportunities are going to be there, but again, he's also a rookie, right? That's the other kind of half of it. He's a rookie who is going to take time to acclimatize to the NFL offense, but I would probably have Pierce as a flex play against the Bears, who are kind of struggling so far to start the year. But again, the most consistent player on this Texans offense is probably all season going to be Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, it is. I had high expectations for Nico Collins, and that hasn't manifested itself just yet. I was just surprised that, like, I don't even think Rex Burkhead got a carry last week in a game that they were, like, it didn't make a ton of sense as to why that happened. He only had the 2 catches, I believe, for 9 yards. I started him last week in a flex spot. That was a mistake. The only saving grace is the player that I was playing, shout out Dan Riccio, his team is so awful that it didn't even matter. So, I mean, Rex Burkhead is a bench right now. Like, I like Pierce as a flex. I'm not willing to go any higher than that. The Bears defense still isn't bad. So that's where my hesitation comes with Pierce as anything more than a flex. And yeah, Brandon Cooks is Brandon Cooks. He's going to get his. I have no issue with Brandon Cooks at all. He's one of my favorite fantasy players because he's a guy that is undervalued every single year and always over-delivers on his ADP. That's what wins you leagues.
Feel free to start Rex Burkhead this week if you want.
No, I'm I can't even remember who I'm starting against you, to be honest with you. I'm starting J.K. Dobbins because I've been waiting for him to get back into the lineup. I'm also starting Tony Pollard, so that should give you at least some cause for optimism because who knows what Tony Pollard we're going to get this week. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, who knows what the Cowboys offense looks this week. Before we wrap up this start, Sid, Chicago Bears, of course, this side of the Texans-Bears matchup. David Montgomery, I think, is probably the guy you feel the best about just because everyone else kind of just looks not so great. Just it looks a little bleh so far. I mean, Khalil Herbert also looks pretty talented, but David Montgomery, I would say he is an RB1, a lower end RB1, just because of the way they use him. He's almost on the field for 80% of the snaps in week two. Only Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, and Saquon Barkley had a larger share of snap percentage for running backs than David Montgomery did. So you're obviously starting him. I just want to say Montgomery is the kind of player, Matt, that I can just see when it's time for his contract, which I think might actually be this offseason.
I think it's up after this year. Yeah.
Yeah. So when he becomes a free agent, can't you just see him going to a better team and just dominating, just being legitimately one of the best running backs in the NFL? I honestly, truly believe that.
I think so. The only concern is always with running backs is what does that next contract look like? We've seen the Ezekiel Elliott contract, and that has been a disaster.
The Todd Gurley deal. Remember that one?
The Todd Gurley deal. I mean, the road is littered with bad running back contracts. Montgomery's a good player. He's always been a good player. It's how they use him. He's adept as a pass catcher. He's great between the tackles. And the fact that, and this is like, I want to get up on a little bit of a soapbox here for a minute here, Show.
Okay.
How in the bleep is Justin Fields 33rd in passing attempts? There's 32 teams in the league. Dak Prescott and Cooper Rush have more passing attempts than him. Jimmy Garoppolo basically played a half of a game and has only 7 less passing attempts. If you want Justin Fields to develop in a year where your team sucks, let the man throw the ball. Like, what are the Chicago Bears? I thought I had higher expectations for Justin Fields this year, and I think Justin Fields is still the best quarterback in that draft. I think he's better and more talented than Trevor Lawrence. Yes, I said it. I'll say it again. But coaching has absolutely failed this guy. It's so pathetic because he could be a fantasy star, Show, and they – You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, and I know you're a movie guy, The Other Guys, Mark Wahlberg saying, Captain, you got to let me be a peacock. You got to let me fly. Let me spread my wings and fly. They are not letting him be a peacock, and I know they don't fly.
Michael Keaton was also very good in that movie. Underrated role for Michael Keaton.
The best lines were when he would throw out the TLC lyrics, yeah, and they'd go, Captain, come on. Like, you don't even know.
Don't go chasing waterfalls. Yeah. So good. But you're right. On the Bears side of things, you're pretty much starting David Montgomery. And I think pretty much no one else. I think you might have no choice but to start Justin Fields in, like, a super flex league because the value of quarterbacks is such that most QBs are probably rostered. But yeah, Justin Fields, you hope, pretty much at this point, you're just crossing your fingers and hoping that he has more than 11 passes, which is what he attempted last week, which is just crazy. He had a rushing touchdown, but he still only had a 10-point performance, which is wild, right? His only value really is in two QB leagues. Let's do one more start sit before we go. Chiefs at Colts and Patrick Mahomes. Okay, look, you're starting the usual suspects, Mahomes. You're starting CEH. You're starting, I would think, Travis Kelce. It's the wide receivers where you really have to, I mean, you're kind of guessing, I think, at this point, right? We talked about it last week, but they themselves, the Chiefs, said it, that it's going to be the quote-unquote wide receiver by committee. It's going to be the one guy getting the game plan every week. I will say that even after last week's Thursday night game, Matt, with Chiefs-Chargers and Juju Smith-Schuster not being a huge part of the offense, The Chargers are also one of the best teams in the NFL at covering slot receivers, which is where Juju seems to, you know, make his bread and butter, makes his money, and finds this open space. I expect that to be more available against the Colts than it was against the Chargers.
Yeah, I believe so too. The Colts just haven't been good, like offensively or defensively. Certainly not what we expected. I like Juju this week. Travis Kelce, I think, ends up being the TE1 this week. Indy's allowed the fifth most points to tight ends, and the main culprits in the 2 weeks have been O.J. Howard and Evan Ingram. So that's not murderer's row, and I like Evan Ingram. That's not murderer's row. Those guys were highly touted coming out of college, but that's been pretty much it. So I think Kelsey's going to have a monster week. At the end of the day, he's going to be the guy that, generally speaking, leads this team in receiving every single week. Patrick Mahomes wasn't lying, apparently, when he said that it was going to be a different receiver every week, but I do like the Juju start. After that, I mean, MVS is a real punt play at flex, like as a real touchdown boomer bust dependent kind of guy. So I'm not willing to start him. Juju, I know the talent's there. I've seen it. That's the big difference maker for me.
Yeah, I think so too. I think I think Juju is a clear, at the very least, hold. You're not dropping. I don't think there. I mean, only in week three, you're not dropping many guys. Period. Unless it's like a really barren, bereft situations. But we saw in week one that he led the team in, I believe it was, targets and snap share, and he kind of lost out on that to MVS. So we'll have to see what it looks like after week three. But I think as a WR3 flex play, I don't mind starting Juju this week. For the Colts, I think really, obviously, you're starting Jonathan Taylor. Not much to be said about that. But Michael Pittman Jr., he is starting today. Missed week two after the quad injury. Kept him out of practice all week. He played most of practice this week. So if he's active, you're starting him. Because when he's active, he commands a monstrous target share from Matt Ryan.
Yeah, he does. And that's what we've seen with Matt Ryan over the course of his career. If he has an alpha receiver, he uses that alpha receiver sometimes to the tune of like a 30% target share. And that's not insignificant. That's elite. I wonder what Michael Pittman looks like after the quad injury, but the fact that he sat out last week doesn't give me any pause. I think that he's going to be ready to go after that. I mean, Jonathan Taylor, obviously that's a no brainer. Am I starting Matt Ryan? I mean, I have to start him in one league. I'm not happy about it. I may even pull him out. It's a super flex league. I may even pull him out because I'm 0-4 and I'm very desperate. But, excuse me, Nyheim Hines is interesting. Ashton Doolin is, to me, the clear wide receiver two here. And Paris Campbell, like we saw a zero last week with no Michael Pittman. Michael Pittman's in the lineup. Like, can you get less than zero? Because that's where I feel Paris Campbell is.
You can.
I mean, like, imagine Paris Campbell catches a ball and it's behind the line of scrimmage in a non-PPR.
Or fumbles it or something.
Oh, my God. That's the ultimate right there. But outside of Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor, I'm not really starting anybody else. Like, again, Nyheim Hines may be in a flex play if you're desperate, but I'm not comfortable starting anybody else.
Some people had pointed out to me this week that the Chiefs defense gives up an average of 23 points to the quarterback position through 2 weeks, but they've also faced Kyler Murray and Justin Herbert, who I don't think are quite the same as Matt Ryan at this stage of his career. And you're right, he does target the alpha wide receiver, like whoever his wide receiver one is. I made this joke before, but when he had Julio Jones as his guy in Atlanta, I swear Matt Ryan thought Julio was like 8 feet tall because he would throw that ball at Julio in every possible way, shape, or form, almost to like his detriment, into Julio's detriment almost sometimes. But he's certainly going to do the same thing in fantasy for Michael Pittman. And for fantasy purposes, that like you said, the snap share, the target share, the percentage is all elite. So you hope for good things for Matt Ryan to Michael Pittman Jr. today. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get back to the start sits. And don't forget, you can text us at 590-590 on the People's text line. We will answer as many questions as possible on the text line at the top of the next hour. You can tweet us as well at SNS Alley with two L's at MattyMar89. But you're listening to the Fantasy Show, Show and Matt, on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Alley, Matt Marchese with you for this Week 3 NFL Sunday start sits, injury news and notes, and of course, your texts at 590-590 on the People's Text Line. We'll answer as many start sit questions as we can at the top of the next hour. You can also tweet us as well at SNSALLI, that's two L's, or at Maddie Marr 89. But Matt, let's continue our start sits, and we'll continue with your Buffalo Bills against the Miami Dolphins. And here's a crazy stat. Most receiving yards in the NFL so far this season, okay? 1, 2, and 3. Tyreek Hill has 284 yards. Stephon Diggs, 270. Jalen Waddle, 240. Today's Bills-Dolphins game marks the first game since Chargers-Chiefs on November 16th, 1980, when the NFL's three receiving leaders all played in the same game, which is absolutely wild. When you're looking at the Buffalo Bills, you're starting all the usual suspects. Obviously, you're starting Josh Allen. Obviously, you're starting Stephon Diggs. How confident are you in starting Gabriel Davis after he missed last week with an injury?
Oh, fire him up. Fire him up. The Dolphins, they haven't been as good defensively as I thought they would be. I'm not really concerned about Davis with the injury. If he had played and maybe re-aggravated, because it sounded like he was maybe kind of close to playing Monday night, but they wanted to be a little bit cautious. I'm okay with starting Gabriel Davis. I'll fire him up as a mid-range to back-end wide receiver 2 this week.
Okay.
Diggs, obviously, the wide receiver 1. Not starting any of the Bills' running backs because they just don't run the ball. And if they do run the ball, it's Josh Allen, generally speaking, albeit he only had one carry last week, but they don't run the ball all that much. I trust the two wide receivers, and outside of that, that's not really it. The biggest concern in this game, and we can kind of dovetail into Miami with this, no Jordan Poyer, it looks like. Micah Hyde is out for the season. Those are two Pro Bowl safeties on the same Buffalo Bills defense that are going to be out. No Ed Oliver on the defensive line for the second straight week, and obviously no Tre'Davious White, who's probably out until week 5. This kind of opens the door a little bit for Miami if the Bills pass rush can't get to Tua Tagovailoa today.
Yeah, I do have some genuine concern that Micah Hyde, I mean, neck injuries for any player, but for defensive backs, that's stuff that worries you. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of stuff that if they said next season that Micah Hyde was like retiring prematurely, I wouldn't be entirely shocked. But I hope nothing but the best for him, because those kinds of injuries are really freaky. But with his absence, like you said, Poyer out as well, no White, right? There's a lot of guys who are not going to be playing back there. We'll see what the Bills secondary looks like. Tua Tagovailoa, do you have him as a QB1 today? I think I might, honestly. Maybe a back end QB1. But I mean, after what we saw last week against the Ravens, boy, I mean, he. It's funny. Did you see that video, Matt, where someone flipped the video of Tua Tagovailoa so it looked like he's throwing right-handed? And I gotta say, in my brain, it just makes him look so much better. Like, the left-handed throws make him look kind of wonky, and when you see the exact same throw from a right-handed perspective, it looks like he's throwing lasers all over the field. It was crazy.
You gotta send me that video, because I'm actually curious to see what that looks like, because that may very well be the case. As for Tua as a QB1, I'm the only reason why I lean that he might be as a back end QB1 is the Ravens front 7 is very good, much like the Bills. And last week the Ravens were missing, I think, their top 4 corners, or at least their top 3, and then one ended up leaving the game, but I think it was 4 to start the game. I mean, Waddle and Hill make Tua Tagovailoa that much better. There's no question about that. Are they going to have the same kind of success? Like, the Bills pass rush is better than the Ravens. I mean, I think Tua is going to get his, because I think it's going to be a high scoring game. So yeah, I think I would be okay with him as a back end QB1, as much as it pains me to say that, because I wanted to see him against a really good defense to see what he could do. And unfortunately, with all the injuries, probably not going to see that from Buffalo this week.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to see. Like, I still think the jury is out on whether or not Tua and the Miami offense can 100% every single week support two wide receiver ones. It's definitely possible, because we saw it last week, but I'm curious to see how it holds up against better competition. Again, though, a lot of new faces in the Bills secondary this week, so this might not be the week to answer that question. Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert, probably both flex plays this week because the backfield for the Dolphins, a little bit confusing, so they're both getting, I think, downgraded until we see one guy really take the reins from a running back perspective in that offense. Lions at Vikings, the next one up on the schedule here. We talked about Jared Goff a little bit. Two games into the season, he is the QB9. The QB9 in fantasy football, he is for sure a QB1. He's doing it without Jameson Williams. I think projections show him as a little bit lower, so I think they're showing him as a QB2 this week, but still, against the Minnesota Vikings secondary that has struggled so far this week, you're going to see DeAndre Swift play more after just handling, I think, what, 7 touches in week 2, even though he was still very, very efficient. Amon-Ra St. Brown is, I mean, he is the sun god. He is worthy of the name because he has been absolutely phenomenal. It just, with all the options back there, I think you're starting Swift, you're starting St. Brown, and you should feel okay about starting Goff, especially if you're looking at other backup situations in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, Goff, like I said, I'm starting Jared Goff over Aaron Rodgers, I think, this week. I feel like I'm talking myself into this, which is, again, so weird for 2022. But DeAndre Swift last week, and this is, it's so funny, he had 7 touches. Do you know where DeAndre Swift finished last week in half PPR scoring with only 7 touches?
Gosh, I can only imagine. He must have been top 10.
Running back 4.
Wow.
If there is ever efficient, DeAndre Swift is it. The only players that finished ahead of him were Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones, Tony Pollard, and he was tied with Damian Harris. Like, that's wild. Like, he's that good. I actually, the other guy that we can maybe mention, he had a donut last week, but I think there's a bounce back here. I like DJ Chark's matchup against Cam Dantzler. I think that's a pretty fruitful one for him. And again, what should be a very high scoring game. It's another weapon for Jared Goff. Like, TJ Hawkinson has been super disappointing over the course of this season. He was one of my favorite prospects coming out of college at the tight end position. And he is just, he's not been very good. And it's been, you know, for those that, He was probably like tight end 7 or 8 off the board, and you probably had, you know, some high expectations for him. He's currently tight end 22.
Ooh.
And he's played both games. So it's been a disappointment. I'm not sure that it gets any better this week. It just, Amon-Ra St. Brown just gets all the attention, as he should, because he's been incredible. But yeah. TJ Hawkinson is very much a back end tight end 1, like low, high end tight end 2 start for me this week.
Yeah, I'm in Ross St. Brown just because you mentioned it. I believe in PPR leagues, in full PPR leagues, I believe he is the WR4. I think it goes like Diggs, Cup, Hill, and then Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I'll admit to not having had him in my top 10. And I also drafted Travis Etienne 1 pick before Amon-Ra St. Brown went in my other league. So shame on me. Shame on everyone, I would think, except for the people who obviously drafted Amon-Ra St. Brown. Minnesota Vikings, I think you're starting Dalvin Cook. You're starting Justin Jefferson, despite the result for Jefferson last week. Darius Slay played very, very well. He basically shut down Jefferson. He had 2 picks and had a career high 5 passes defensed. But Vikings are going to have a much easier time against the Lions this week than they would last week against the Eagles. So you're starting Justin Jefferson, no matter what. Really, it really just comes down to, in this matchup, how good do you feel about Kirk Cousins? It's not a primetime matchup, so probably a little bit better. And are you starting Adam Thielen or really anyone else, Irv Smith Jr. perhaps, in this matchup?
Adam Thielen is a back-end wide receiver 3 flex play, just because it felt like all of his targets and catches came late in the game when it was out of reach. Albeit, this should be a high-scoring game. The Lions have allowed the 5th most points to QBs, the 2nd most points to running backs, and the 8th most points to wide receivers. I think Kirk Cousins is in for a bounce. Like, God, he can't be any worse than he was in the Monday Nighter. Something about primetime games and Kirk Cousins must mess with his sleep schedule. It has to be. He seems like that type of guy. Dalvin Cook right now is running back 28 in half PPR scoring. I don't think that trend is going to continue. If there was a week that he was going to have a blow up week, it's probably this week. But outside of that, I mean, again, Irv Smith is kind of, you're going to start him if you have to, but you're certainly not comfortable with it. I'm curious to see how this matchup goes. Like, if Justin Jefferson sees a lot of Jeff Okuda, I wonder how that turns out. Jeff Okuda has been really good the first 2 weeks. He held Terry McLaurin last week to 2 catches for 22 yards. I'm just curious to see how much they match up together, and if they do, what kind of an effect that Jeff Okuda has on Justin Jefferson, because he's one of those DBs that could end up being elite. He was certainly taken with a high pick by the Lions, so I'm curious to see what that matchup brings.
I do think the trio of, I think it's Jeff Okuda, Will Harris, and I believe Mike Hughes for the Detroit Lions. They're very good. Having said that, they're no Darius Slay, James Bradbury, and Avante Maddox, right, who played for the Eagles last week.
No.
So I think that you can expect to see more production from Justin Jefferson, but you're right. We'll have to keep an eye on the Okuda-Jefferson matchup. Ravens-Patriots, our next one here. And Lamar Jackson, a 79-yard gallop last week. Despite the loss to Miami, he still had a very, very good fantasy outing, right? I think he had like 40-something points last week. He rushed for 119 yards last week on 9 attempts, added a score. That's exactly what you want to see. Obviously, you're starting him, right? It's not as easy a matchup as it was in week two. The Patriots' run defense is pretty good. The Patriots' pass defense, however, is not so great. The 26th ranked coverage defense. So whereas I think I would probably... You're still starting J.K. Dobbins if he plays, and it certainly looks like he will. So if he does play, I just got him just out of an abundance of caution, man. I have Dobbins. You're starting him against me. I'm starting him in another league. I got him as a flex play this weekend until we see what his usage looks like, and I'm sure they're going to be cautious because it was a very gruesome injury he suffered last year. But through the air, Rashad Bateman, Mark Andrews, I think you should feel pretty decent about starting both of those guys this week.
Yeah, the concern here is that the Patriots, despite not being great in coverage, they've only allowed 2 receiving touchdowns over the first 2 weeks. Bateman, to me, is still a good start. Andrews, of course. Rashad Bateman's average yards per reception right now is 27.8 yards. Like, that's got to come down because you want him to be used a little bit more across the formation. But he's getting it done. Like, has he been a bit touchdown dependent? Sure. But he's also broken off 2 long touchdown catches in the first 2 weeks. So I think that's where the optimism comes in with him. I think Bateman's such a great receiver. So, and there's a reason why the Ravens took him in the first round last year. Outside of that, I mean, the Dobbins thing is interesting just because he's clearly the most explosive back that they have on the roster, especially when Gus Edwards isn't in the lineup. But the Ravens' run offense, I believe, from their running backs is the worst in the NFL through the first 2 weeks. Like, that's going to change with Dobbins. I'm okay with firing up as a flex play, even as an RB, like a back end RB2, because I think they're going to want to get him involved. He's the type of guy, much like DeAndre Swift is. He's that home run hitter type talent. And I think if he can break 1 or 2 off, then, you know, you could be in line for a touchdown and maybe like a 15-point or 12-point fantasy week.
I'll say this. If Dobbins somehow in pregame warmups decides that they tweak something, or they decide out of, again, an abundance of caution to not play him for whatever reason, certainly looks like he will play just to be sure here. But if he doesn't somehow play, do not start Kenyon Drake. I think you're just out on Kenyon Drake, I think, for the foreseeable future. He's only averaging 2.29 yards per carry, and he only had 6 carries and 8 yards in week 2. So I think you're just not stay away from the non-Dobbins running backs, I think, in this offense until further notice. Last one here before we hit a quick break, and then your texts, of course, at 590-590, name and location, please, in the people's text line. Bengals at Jets, and again, Jets-wise, Garrett Wilson was probably the most popular waiver wire pickup this week. It certainly looks like apparently Zach Wilson is going to start in week 4, so your last week, it would seem, of Joe Flacco slinging the ball, so I guess get Garrett Wilson starts in if you can, because I have no doubt that Garrett Wilson and probably Elijah Moore, when Zach Wilson comes back, will still maintain value. It's just when they make a quarterback shift like that, you can never be 100% certain what's going to happen, Matt.
No, you can't. And I mean, I like to believe that talent wins out in most cases. I know sometimes it doesn't, because you just look at snap shares and target shares for some guys and you go, how is that possible? But Garrett Wilson, I believe, is going to be in for another good game here. I don't love the Bengals secondary. He's fourth in air yards through the first two games, and he's only played 54.5% of the snaps. That is an incredible number. So to me, what that means is as he gets integrated in this offense more, he's going to put up, he's going to ball out. Like, there's a reason why Garrett Wilson was taken as high as he was in the draft. I like him as a start this week. I think he's a wide receiver three at this point because the target share has been really good. Elijah Moore is just, I don't know what's going on there. Garrett Wilson's been the most productive wide receiver. Like, even Corey Davis has seemingly been better than Elijah Moore. I think Corey Davis is battling an injury, so we'll see what happens there. But outside of that, I mean, both Jets running backs have been productive with the ball in their hands. But the issue is that they've both been productive with the ball in their hands.
Yeah.
And there's only so much to go around here. I have them both as flex plays this week, but I think they're strong flex plays. I think the Jets keep this one relatively close. They may even pull out a victory. The Bengals are reeling right now. I'm not too concerned about either of those guys in a flex spot just because they've been able to kind of hit home runs when they've had the ball in their hands.
I also don't mind, especially in full PPR leagues, if you're looking for an emergency tight end stream, Tyler Conklin had 9 targets against the Browns last week. And as long as Joe Flacco is there, he certainly looks like he might be his safety blanket. So again, I'm not advocating for a surefire start for Tyler Conklin, but if you're in a pinch and you need an injury fill-in, let's say, and there's a guy available on waivers, I feel like Tyler Conklin is probably available on most waiver wires. For the Bengals, you're starting Joe Burrow, you're starting Joe Mixon, you're starting Ja'Marr Chase. I'll be interested to see what Sauce Gardner, the rookie cornerback for New York, I'll be interested to see how he does against Ja'Marr Chase. And if you feel as though Chase, who only had, I think it was 9 total targets, 5 receptions, 54 yards against the Cowboys last week, he's still a WR1. But if you feel that Sauce Gardner is going to do anything similar like that to Ja'Marr Chase this week, then you might feel pretty good about starting T. Higgins. I mean, of course, any of the Bengals wide receivers, fantasy production is essentially predicated, Matt, on Joe Burrow having enough time to throw. And we all thought the Bengals offensive line was upgraded this year. And he has been sacked something. I think he's been sacked like 13 times so far in 2 weeks, 7 times in week 1, 6 times in week 2 against Dallas. That is just absolutely absurd. You hope that the Jets are not going to be able to, if you're a Bengals fan, certainly, you hope the Jets are not going to be able to get to Joe Burrow as often. But boy, he has been sacked a lot. So that will affect how you start guys like, well, you're starting Chase, but how you start guys like Higgins and Boyd and Hurst, I would say.
I love Higgins. I said last week he was going to have a big week. I think he had like 80 yards and a touchdown. That's exactly what you would expect from him. I think that we're in a situation where you could start both of the wide receivers. I'm comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable with Tyler Boyd. He feels like the wide receiver handcuff, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He feels like if one of those guys goes down, that Tyler Boyd's value goes way through the roof. I think he should be rostered. I mean, am I starting him? No. If you're in a pinch, you pray for a touchdown. That's pretty much it. But other than that, I think I'm not even comfortable with Hayden Hurst at this point. I know that the tight end position is a barren wasteland, but I'm still not comfortable with starting Hayden Hurst. And just some injury notes. Or one injury note, because we had just finished the game and we won't get back to it. Jacoby Myers is not expected to play for the Patriots. Knee injury, and that is according to Adam Schefter. So maybe a lot of Ramondre Stevenson, maybe a lot of Damian Harris today against the Ravens. But yeah, as for the Bengals, Joe Burrow, if he doesn't stay upright, he's going to have a really hard time in replicating his success from last year, because let's remember, the book is out on him now. If he can't stay upright, teams know how to attack that.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll have to see how this Bengals-Jets game goes, and good looking out on the Jacoby Myers stuff. I also think Nelson Agholor probably going to see an absolute ton of volume, and you'd think that after an absolutely ridiculous touchdown catch last weekend over one of the Steelers' corners, maybe he gets some more looks from Mac Jones with no Jacoby Myers. But yeah, so that does it for the Patriots. It also does it for the Bengals-Jets, and that does it for the first hour of the Fantasy Show. We'll step aside, take a very quick break. On the other side of the break, though, your text questions at 590-590 on the People's Text Line. Again, you can also tweet at us at SNS Alley, at MattyMar89. All your text questions, the People's Text Line, next on the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
is The Fantasy Show with Sho Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Sho Ali, Matt Marchese alongside you as we break down every Week 3 NFL game for fantasy football, start, sits, injury news and notes, and of course, your texts at the People's Text Line 590-590. Text us anything you want about fantasy football. We'll answer as many questions as possible on the air. If we do not get to your questions, we will still answer every single one before kickoff goes at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can also tweet us at SNS Ali with two L's at MattyMar89. I see a couple of tweets here already and a lot of texts on the text line. Matt, you ready to do it?
Let's roll.
Let's do it.
And now, your fantasy questions on the People's Text Line.
All right, let's start with this one from FaZe in Peterborough, with Connor being a game-time decision. Actually, I'm going to need you to parse this one for me, Matt, because I assume this is an autocorrect, but FaZe says, should I risk staying with Connor or switch? Backup is Mostert or Pierce. So do you go to Mostert or Pierce if no Connor, or do you just wait for Connor?
So that Cardinals game, that's a 4 o'clock game. So we're gonna. I think I'd honestly be comfortable with going with Pierce. Connor's got. I worry about with James Connor a re-injury there, because it happened later. He practiced a bit this week, and the part where he's gonna test it out in pregame. I think I just go with the guy I know that's playing. I don't love Mostert in that spot, but I like Pierce a lot better.
Okay, you know what? I think I like Pierce a lot better too. There's a risk of week to week. It could be Edmonds, it could be Mostert right now at the very least, until we see things shake out a little more, versus Pierce, who got a ton of the snap share last week. So I like the Pierce thing. I'm going to go Pierce as well. Eddie from Angus. Good morning, boys. Let's get to another week of fantasy. Good morning, Eddie. A half PPR flex play: Damian Pierce or AJ Dillon? That's a pretty good dilemma to have.
Ooh, it's a tough. The Packers matchup against the Bucs defense is obviously a tough one, especially the run defense. However, the only thing is that we've seen it. It feels like the offense is going to roll through Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. I think I'm leaning AJ Dillon here. Really do believe that. Like, Pierce has a tough matchup as well against the Bears. And he's going to get the workload, but I think A.J. Dillon's going to be heavily involved in the offense today.
Well, too, and don't forget, we haven't gotten to the Packers game yet, but David Bakhtiari is expected to play, which is obviously a boost for everyone in Green Bay, but certainly for the running backs. And the running backs are obviously a huge part of that offense. So I think that does bode well for guys like Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. So David Bakhtiari, one of the offensive tackles, is expected to play, and he is, of course, a very big part of the big plan down in Green Bay. Let's go to this one as well. I see here tight end.
Oh, we got to answer one more part.
Yeah. Tight end, Knox, okay. Hurst, or Conklin?
I think it's Conklin. Knox is battling an ankle injury, I believe, and Hurst I just don't see the value in Hayden Hurst in that offense. I think the Jets are going to throw a bunch. I'll go with Conklin here.
I'm going to go Conklin as well. You guys heard my spiel for Conklin at the end of the previous segment. But yeah, I just generally speaking, like Conklin as long as Flacco is the quarterback. I don't know if that changes as soon as next week, but for this week, he certainly seems to be Flacco's safety blanket underneath, and maybe he'll need that against the Bengals. Maybe he won't, but it's not a bad streaming tight end play. Adrian from Stony Creek, PPR running back question. If Jacobs doesn't play, should I start Zamir White, who of course is Jacobs' backup, or Melvin Gordon?
I like the matchup better. I think there's a more clear path to more touches for Zamir White than Melvin Gordon. Gordon's going up against that pretty solid Niners front seven, whereas, you know, Zamir White is going up against, you know, a not very good Titans run defense. I'm going to go with Zamir White in this one. I think there's some value to be had there. And Zamir White's got to ball out because he wants playing time as a rookie. This is where his opportunity stands. He's got to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Obviously, only if Jacobs doesn't play. If Jacobs plays, I don't know that there's...
He's out. Yeah. He's out. He didn't make the flight, okay, so he's out.
He's officially out. Okay, so then, yeah, you know what? Yeah. I would probably say there's a better path to more touches for Zamir White over over Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon is still, I think, very, very good. And if Javonte Williams ever went down, you got yourself an RB1 there. But yeah, I don't think you can bank on that. So I'm taking Zamir White. Tony from Hamilton.
Actually, hold on, show.
Yeah.
I just read something that he actually did travel with the team. There was a report that he didn't, but they're saying he did travel. So in that case, if Jacobs is out, or if he's playing, obviously you start Melvin Gordon. So I just wanted to be clear on that. I had to make sure that.
Yeah, no worries. You got to check. You got to make sure he got on the plane, right? You want to, whether or not he got on the plane or not. And this is actually a DM I got. So this is from Stro Tonight. I wonder if that's a Marcus Stroman thing. But anyways, good morning. Full PPR, need one and a flex between Darrell Henderson, Sanders, Jacobs, Jeff Wilson, and Treylon Burks. So you're basically picking two. You're picking two of Darrell Henderson, I assume Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs, Jeff Wilson Jr., and Treylon Burks.
I'm going with Sanders and Wilson in this one.
Sanders and Wilson. I never know where I lean on the Eagles running backs. It just feels like such a crapshoot sometimes.
It is, but I mean, unfortunately, isn't that the game that we play? Like, what was that? What was the line? What was the line that you got from? God!
We just don't know.
We just don't know. We're not in the locker rooms. We're not on the plane. Don't know.
Thank you, Roy Kent. Tony from Hamilton. Who should I start? Travis Etienne, Raheem Mostert, or Cam Akers? And he has a second question as well. But first, Etienne, Mostert, or Akers? Honestly, I know I said I don't love Etienne, but I mean of those guys, I guess Etienne is my preference. Where do you lean on this one?
I think I lean Cam Akers. I just like the matchup against the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals' defense is just atrocious, and they've proven that week in and week out. I think Akers is the start here. Etienne, I just need to see more in terms of usage before I have any sort of comfortability. Mostert, I just don't like the matchup against the Bills' front seven, so I lean Cam Akers here.
Tony from Hamilton also wants to know, I need to drop one player. Who would you drop? Eno Benjamin, Jaylen Warren, or James Cook?
I think it's Eno Benjamin just because James Conner, I mean, who am I kidding? It's James Cook. It's got to be James Cook at this point until he shows that he's going to get more involved in the offense. I do believe that James Cook is going to be a part of this offense when it's all said and done at the end of this season. But I think those other two guys at this particular moment have more value.
You just didn't want to list a Buffalo Bill. You were like, how can I get around listing James Cook? You're like, this has to be the guy. It has to be the guy right now. Unless you're like in a dynasty league or some kind of like super deep keeper league. I think, yeah, it's probably James Cook at this point. Mark from Toronto, we'll get a couple more here. And again, if we don't get to your questions right now, we will answer a couple more before the end of the show, and then we will answer as many as humanly possible before the 1 p.m. kickoff. So you can always still text us at 590-590, name and location. Mark from Toronto, I need a running back two and a flex in half PPR. So you're basically picking two of these following five players. Raheem Mostert, James Conner, Ramondre Stevenson, Tony Pollard, Cam Akers. So two of those five, Matt.
So Mostert's out for me. I lean Connor if he's playing, and I lean Cam Akers. But if we get some sort of indication that James Connor isn't playing, then I would lean probably Tony Pollard. And I say that with pause because with no Jacoby Myers, I really wonder how much they integrate Ramondre Stevenson into the offense this week. He did play he played more snaps than Damian Harris, and he had more routes run on those snaps. I think he's going to get integrated with no Myers, but I'll lean Akers and Connor and then Pollard only because of the timing if Connor can't go.
Yeah, that's the problem, right? Because if Connor was a 1 p.m. start Eastern, it would be a lot easier to parse out who might and might not be able to go and backup options and so on. But because it's a bit of a later game, it's one of the kind of second slate of games, it makes it a little more difficult. But I do agree with you on that one. I'd probably go Stevenson and Akers just because I'm just going to be more conservative and decide to go with the run game that way. But hey, I mean, the Patriots might decide to air it out today with the Ravens secondary being what it is. Mike from Toronto will end on this one. Then again, we'll get to all of your text line questions off the air after the show. But Mike from Toronto, 12-team non-PPR. Good morning, show and Matt. Great show. Matt, Miami D or Tampa Bay D to start? He has another question as well, but Miami or Tampa D to start? I would think if one opponent is The Buffalo Bills, I tend to just lean whoever the other team is just because of the Bills offense. That's how I view that, basically, Matt.
Yeah, that's a pretty safe bet. I would lean Tampa Bay. I know David Bakhtiari's back. Elkton Jenkins is in the lineup again for the second straight week. But we'll give you a little tease on the numbers. Aaron Rodgers' career numbers against the Bucs, not that great. And obviously, he has no Devontae Adams at alpha receiver, so I don't expect that it's going to get any better against the Bucs.
And Mike's other part of the question needs three of four. Barkley, Penny, M. Carter, so Michael Carter, or Gibson. So you're basically benching one of these guys. You're benching one of Barkley, Penny, Carter, or Gibson.
I'm benching Penny.
Rashad Penny. I just like that. The whole Seattle offensive situation, just fantasy football wise, just ugh. I want no part of it if possible, Matt.
Yeah, no. Let's stay away from Rashad Penny and Kenny Walker until we figure out what the heck is going on there.
And that does it for the text line questions again at 590-590. You can send us a couple more if you like, and we will get to all of them before 1 p.m. kickoff goes in a couple of hours. Mike also said, I agree. He was texting in when we were talking about, you were like, oh, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night because of my newborn child. Mike said, I agree with that. How else do you think I am up at 8 a.m. on a Sunday? It is terrible, but yes, worth it. So Mike sympathizes with you, Matt.
I appreciate that somebody does. I mean, there's other people that have like three kids that like, they're like, what an amateur. He didn't get any sleep. I've got three and I haven't been sleeping for the past 20 years. How's that?
Well, I do appreciate the text and the sympathy from Mike for Matt. I will join the commiseration, I'm sure, in a couple of years. Let's get to the rest of our start sets. We'll continue though, Matt, with Raiders at tight ends and Derek Carr. Again, we talked about Josh Jacobs and that whole situation. It's a bit of a mystery because, like you said, he did travel with the team. Is he going to start? I think you should be prepared to have other options if possible. Zamir White is not a bad backup, but even if Josh Jacobs does play against the Titans, I'm probably still ranking him as a mid-tier RB2 based on how the season has gone so far.
Yeah, I'm much of the same in that regard. I don't think the Titans' run defense is very good. You know, I saw Devin Singletary break off a few runs. Saquon Barkley obviously had the massive week one. And actually just got this note. Adam Schefter says Josh Jacobs, who flew separately from the team. So that's why there was that report that he wasn't on the team flight. He was on just a different flight. He's listed as questionable with an illness. He will work out pregame to determine his availability. There's optimism he will be ready to play, but no decision until pregame warm-up. So keep an eye on that. Zamir White's probably available in a bunch of leagues. Outside of that, I mean, yeah, I have Jacobs as an RB2 play, but if he doesn't, I don't put Zamir White as anything better than a flex play, and you're going to have to shuffle anyway. The big one for me here is I don't believe Hunter Renfrow's playing. He's got the concussion.
Yeah, he's out.
Devontae Adams did not have a week to remember last week. It just feels like Derek Carr just didn't even look at him. That's going to change. Look at what Stephon Diggs did against the Titans in the Monday Nighter. I think we can expect a monster game like that from Devontae Adams this week. And of course, Darren Waller is going to be in a much better spot. Derek Carr, surprisingly, through the first 2 weeks, is QB 15. Titans have given up the 10th most points to quarterbacks. I think there's a bounce back here from Derek Carr. I have him as QB 8 this week.
Yeah, he definitely hasn't been the top 10 QB you were hoping for, given all the additional targets for him on offense. But hey, maybe this is a get right game of sorts for Carr. And like you said, no Hunter Renfrow. Devontae Adams, he still caught a touchdown on two receptions last week, which is definitely good. It's very efficient, but I agree with you. I think you can hope for more against the Titans secondary. And for the Titans themselves, I mean, look, Derrick Henry, it's interesting, right? Because no Taylor Lewan, who is one of their, I believe he's their left tackle, right? And in his absence last week, the Titans' backup left tackle did not acquit himself very well. It's interesting because, of course, you probably drafted Derrick Henry with a top five or a top seven pick, I would imagine. Unfortunately, against the Raiders and with a downgraded offensive line and not super reliable targets through the air, it pains me to say it because I feel like whenever you doubt Derrick Henry is when he really like styles on you, basically. But Derrick Henry, I feel like I'm ranking him as an RB2 this week, Matt.
I think the matchup is okay. I don't love Taylor Lewan being out. That's an obvious statement. That's a Pro Bowl left tackle that we're talking about here. But this offense, for it to have any sort of success, it needs to have Derrick Henry going. I think they're going to give Derrick Henry all he can handle this week. I think they're going to try and control the clock a little bit against the Raiders. And outside of Derrick Henry, Robert Woods is the only guy that I have any sort of even faith in. Like, Treylon Burks, fine. But, and him and Robert Woods are, they feel like punt play flex options right now, just because Ryan Tannehill is not very good. And he's certainly not what he was a couple of seasons ago. Yeah. I just don't see the value there. I'm not starting anybody other than Derrick Henry with any sort of comfortability. And even at that point, Derrick Henry is certainly not producing the value that you drafted him at.
Yeah, I think I have both Woods and Burks as likely sits if you can, but if you're forced into playing them because of injuries or what have you, flex plays at best, I think. I'm even a little reticent to name them as WR3s, honestly. Flex plays at best for me, and yeah, I'm not starting anyone else in that offense. On our next start sit, Eagles at Commanders. Look, you're starting Jalen Hurts. He is a QB1. I think he's one of the only QBs ahead of him, really, is Lamar Jackson right now and Josh Allen. Like, there's not a lot of guys you would take ahead of Jalen Hurts right now, so you're starting him no matter what, basically on a weekly basis, as long as he is healthy. A.J. Brown, not a week to remember necessarily in week two, but still around 9-10 points, depending on if you were in half PPR or full PPR. But he's still a WR1. The questions really revolve, again, as we discussed for the text line questions, Miles Sanders and the rest of the Eagles running backs like Kenny Gainwell or Boston Scott. I'm not starting any of them if possible, but if I had to pick one, I'll go with Miles Sanders because he seems to be the guy they use, relatively speaking, the most, apart from Jalen Hurts' own legs. And then apart from that, Matt, I mean, Devontae Smith, I guess, like if you're in tight, you might have to start him, but he's probably nothing more than a WR3, I'd say.
Yeah, I like Devonta Smith. He had a good week last week. He had that after he got a zero. That was the other player that Jeff Okuda shut down in week one. And the Commanders just don't have a corner like that. I think Devonta Smith is fine as a wide receiver three, and you'll see that in our matchup this week, that he's just fine. Thank you very much. And I like Miles Sanders. I'm just shocked at how good Miles Sanders has been. He's running back 11, tied with Antonio Gibson for points. That according to fantasypros.com. And I think there's some value there as an RB2 start. I don't think Washington's defense is just all that great.
No.
This is probably a little bit more high scoring than some would think. So I think there's lots of value here. Dallas Goedert is one of three players in the top 12 among tight ends that has not scored a touchdown. I wonder if that changes today.
Yeah, he's fresh off a 5-catch, 82-yard outing. So I think I did forget about Goddard, actually. So thank you for mentioning him, because he is always a threat in that offense. And if he was on an offense that threw the ball more, you might be a little even more bullish on him. But yeah, that's definitely a good tight end play. Most weeks, he'll be able to start Dallas Goedert. Washington Commander side of things, I think you're probably, I don't know, like in two QB leagues, super flex leagues, you can probably feel good about starting Carson Wentz, right? He has two straight games with over 300 passing yards and three touchdowns. He's a QB5 through the first 2 weeks. Is this a revenge game? Maybe it is but it's been a little while since he played for the Eagles. So maybe not so hot a topic of revenge these days, but I don't know. QB2 for me, for Carson Wentz, again, unless you're in a two QB league or a super flex league. Apart from that, I think you can afford to start Antonio Gibson, maybe as an RB2 this weekend. Terry McLaurin, Scary Terry, a WR2. I just have a lot of twos next to a lot of the Washington players. Curtis Samuel, however, does look pretty good, and I think you can expect the steady stream of targets and yards for Jahan Dotson to at least remain the same. I don't know if it's going to go up, but at least remain the same.
Yeah, like if we, I know, and it's early, it's 2 weeks, but the Washington Commanders have three wide receivers in the top 26 in fantasy scoring, and they're not in the order in which you would have expected. I will say that. Terry McLaurin is third among those wide receivers. Curtis Samuel is first among those wide receivers for Washington. He is currently wide receiver 9 in half PPR scoring. And Jahan Dotson is wide receiver 12. Now, Jahan Dotson has also been a little touchdown dependent, which is fine because they clearly look for him in the red zone. But, I mean, Curtis Samuel in any league is a startable guy. Like, I wouldn't have said that about Curtis Samuel in standard leagues, but I'm ready to roll out Curtis Samuel everywhere. It's finally coming to fruition for him. We heard all about how he's going to be used all over the formation, and now they're finally doing it in Washington because he's healthy.
Yeah, 20 targets, a team-leading 20 targets through the first 2 weeks. He has led the team in targets in both contests. It's 14th overall in targets in the NFL to date. So honestly, like, if that continues, you're going to be rolling Curtis Samuel out literally every week if that happens, right? Because if he leads, any receiver who leads your franchise in targets is a guy you can probably start and from a fantasy perspective on a weekly basis. So we'll have to see if that continues. If he stays healthy, it's probably a guy you can start on going forward. Next matchup here, Jaguars at Chargers. And look, we talked a lot about Travis Etienne and James Robinson, certainly probably the comeback player of the year, I would imagine, for James Robinson. He has back-to-back 60 or more yard games in 2 weeks. Last week, though, only averaging less than 3 yards a carry. He's not the primary receiving back either. It unfortunately for me downgrades, especially against the Chargers defense, which is pretty good. It downgrades both of them to like high-end flex, low-end RB3s, I would say. But having said that, I mean, the guy you want to start in this offense is Christian Kirk. I mean, he has just been a stud so far this season.
Yeah, no J.C. Jackson today for the Chargers, so that part is going to make life a lot easier. But Christian Kirk plays a lot out of the slot, and you mentioned earlier, the Chargers very good defending that position. I do believe that they're going to work Christian Kirk around the formation to get him open as much as possible. I do wonder, though, if they can't, if they have trouble moving the ball downfield, I do wonder if we see a little bit more of Travis Etienne. I have Etienne and Robinson in one of my leagues, both on the same roster. I'm starting Robinson just because of the touchdown upside. But Travis Etienne is too talented of a football player to be held back this much. Maybe this is the week that he finally breaks through.
And you said this guy's name a couple of times. I can't believe I'm even talking about him, but Evan Engram. The Chargers defense oddly has allowed the fifth most yards, 142 yards to tight ends, but still have only given up about 7.1 fantasy points a game. Having said that, Evan Engram has seen just a ton of targets. I don't know if I'm starting him this week on my teams, but if you're in a pinch, again, kind of like we were talking about for Tyler Conklin, he is a startable tight end. Like, I'm not sure you can guarantee a TE1 finish, but again, the tight end landscape is pretty barren, Matt, so you can probably find, there are probably not a lot of better options outside of the top guys when it comes to tight ends. So if you're, again, really in a pinch, Engram is startable. On the Charger side of things, though, we're still waiting to see if Herbert plays, and if he does play, if he is limited with that rib injury. I feel like he probably will play. It's just, I think if you have Herbert, whether you're in a 1 or 2 QB/Superflex league, you just got to prepare if in the occasion he does not play, because it's definitely possible. He is waiting to see on how he responds around. Maybe he'll get a shot for the pain, for the fractured rib cartilage around game time. This is one of those second slate of games around 4:30 p.m. Eastern. So you just have to keep that in mind when you're managing your QB decisions this weekend. Again, certainly looks like he's going to try and play through the pain. Having said that, outside of him, you're starting Austin Eckler every week, even if he's not the juggernaut he was last season. You're starting Mike Williams. I believe Keenan Allen is playing. Have they confirmed that, or is it still a game time decision?
I haven't seen anything to suggest that he's not playing.
Right, okay.
I think it sounded like if last week was a regular week that he would have played. So as far as I can see here, he is going to play. So he's questionable, but I mean, like I've always said, what is questionable? Questionable is your performance right now, Matt. I'm leaning that Allen is playing. If Herbert starts, I think you start him. Because to me, if he's well enough to start, even though he's banged up, that means he's going to give it a go. And how do you sit a guy with that much talent? Like, it's the same question. If Josh Allen had a questionable tag and was a game time decision and he played, would you not play Josh Allen?
Yeah, for sure. Right. You would.
And I think Herbert, Mahomes, Lamar, like all those guys, I think they're all in the same category. I think you got to start them.
I read too that if Keenan Allen, like if last week's game was on Sunday, Keenan Allen probably would have played. It's just because it was a short week. It was Thursday night football. They were kind of erred on the side of caution, and he didn't play. So I think it seems pretty reasonable to assume that Keenan Allen will play, barring some kind of setback in pregame. Apart from that, though, I'm not sure you're starting Joshua Palmer. Gerald Everett, again, I'm curious to see what the usage is because I thought he had a pretty good game, despite the miscommunication with Justin Herbert at the end of Thursday Night Football last week. Gerald Everett has put up some decent numbers as a lower-end TE1, but with Keenan Allen returning, do you think that eats into his target share to a degree where you wouldn't start him? Or even if Keenan Allen does play, do you still start Gerald Everett?
I think I still start Gerald Everett because of the scarcity at the position, but he's been really good, and it's just a bit of a matchup nightmare for some teams because he's so athletic. And I think because of that matchup, he's able to create separation and space for himself. And Justin Herbert's a smart quarterback. He knows where to look. It's also a guy that they look at in the red zone. I'm fine with starting Everett. The offense is that good that it can support, you know, four skill position guys like they do, I believe.
I think you're probably right. I think the Chargers offense is pretty prolific, and it's been, relatively speaking, as advertised, even if you want to see some more consistency from some guys on a week-to-week basis. But the Chargers offense, like you said, it does hinge on the availability of one Justin Herbert, but certainly looks like he will try and play this week. We're going to step aside, take a very quick break. When we come back, we will wrap up the start sits, get to our last couple of text line questions as well. 590-590, name and location. And again, if we don't get to all of your texts on the air, we will answer all of them before the game start at 1 p.m. Eastern. But you're listening to The Fantasy Show, Show and Matt, on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. One more segment to go this week as we get set for week 3 in the NFL. Fantasy football start sits, injury news and notes, and of course your texts at 590-590, name and location please on the People's Text Line. We'll answer a couple more texts before we go in a couple of minutes, but if we don't get to your text questions on the air, we will answer all of them before the 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff. Matt, go ahead.
Just before we go, I forgot to message you in our little chat there. Mm-hmm. Just an update on J.K. Dobbins. He is playing, and according to Ian Rappaport, may not even be limited in his workload today.
Oh, there you go.
So that's super interesting.
I'm sure you're very happy. Again, you're starting him against me, though.
I love J.K. Dobbins, so I'm definitely happy.
Yeah, that's, you know what? It was an absolutely gruesome injury, what he suffered. It's like he tore his ACL, his PCL, his LCL, and like his meniscus.
All the L's.
And so on. Yeah,
all the L's.
He tore like every possible muscle you can tear in your knee. So it's great to see that he's back and won't be limited because I think he is a very special talent. So I am excited to hear that. It's good news. Let's continue our start sits. Rams at Cards. Darrell Henderson and Cam Akers. It certainly feels like Sean McVay is determined to make this as much of a fantasy football running back committee quagmire as humanly possible, Matt.
Yeah, he's really killing us right now. We thought it was going to be Akers in week 1, and it was Henderson. We thought it was going to be Henderson in week 2, and it was Akers. I mean, do you just take the chance and go with both of them? Like, I think Akers is the more talented of the two running backs, so I think I have him as a flex play until we see more. Darrell Henderson kind of scares the hell out of me here. I think the most interesting start here is Tyler Higbee.
Sure.
He's been really good. His target share is way up. And there are guarantees in life, show. Death, taxes, and the Cardinals not being able to defend tight ends.
Yeah.
They have given up the most points to the position, and I don't think that changes this week. I think that Tyler Higbee's a great start, and of course you're starting, you know, your Cups and your Robinsons and your Staffords as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Higbee's snap share in terms of how often he is on the field is, when you compare it to other tight ends, is absolutely elite. He just doesn't catch the ball enough, which is baffling because he is a very talented player. When Gerald Everett departed last season for Seattle, I thought to myself, boy, Tyler Higbee's going to be pretty good. He was like, okay, he was fine. But generally speaking, again, like we talked about, the tight end landscape completely barren. So I think you can feel okay about starting Tyler Higbee as a tight end too, and hope for more, I would say, right? When it comes to any guys not named like Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, or Mark Andrews, certainly. On the other side of things, Kyler Murray, I think, again, you're starting him as a QB1 because he runs around back there. Do you see that tweet that that said, Kyler Murray looks like when he runs with the ball, he looks like a toddler that just stole his parents' phone.
Yes.
And since I saw that, I can't unsee it.
Can't unsee it. I know. It's 100% accurate. Oh. It's true because he's got those short little strides, right?
Yeah, he's like a little wild. Scampering all over the field. Like, what a little scamp Kyler Murray is. But yeah, QB1 and Marquise Brown. I think you can fire him up as a WR2, but Greg Dortch, honestly, like, he gets targeted more than I thought. And with Marquise Brown probably facing off against Jalen Ramsey, of all people, I think you can, is it crazy to say you can feel okay about starting Greg Dortch maybe as a WR3?
I think he's like a wide receiver 3 flex play. He's the highest scoring Cardinals receiver through the first two weeks. Just as we expected. We know nothing. Greg Dortch. I mean, that was supposed to be Rondale Moore, right? And that's why I continue to say pick up Rondale Moore wherever you can, because I think he's just the better player than Greg Dortch is. Marquise Brown, kind of a back end wide receiver 2 this week. The targets are there. He has 17 through the first 2 weeks. He had 11 last week, caught 6 of them for 68 yards. And he has 1 touchdown on the year. I think that the opportunity is there for Marquise Brown. Like, I would try and acquire Marquise Brown wherever I can, because I think that these numbers are only going to go up. I don't think that he's hit his ceiling with Kyler Murray here, and they're just getting reacquainted after they played college football together. The one scary play for me, like, obviously the James Conner thing, we don't know what's going to happen there. If you can grab Darrell Williams or Eno Benjamin, I would try that. But Zach Ertz is in tough this week against the Rams. They've allowed the second fewest points to tight ends, and I think that he is a very much a back end tight end 1 this week against a stout Rams defense against tight ends.
The thing, too, with the James Conner situation as well, Los Angeles has given up the third fewest fantasy points to running backs on the season. So even if James Conner does play, I think just temper expectations for him if you are forced to start him. But if you do have a better option, then, I mean, we had some text line questions about should I start like Raheem Mostert or Damian Pierce over guys like James Conner. I think if you have better options for an injury situation or just for matchup wise, maybe you do sit James Conner this week. And like you mentioned, I do still think as long as DeAndre Hopkins is suspended, he's suspended until week 6. I do think Zach Ertz is a guy you can start, but again, temper expectations against the Rams defense, which has been, apart from the Buffalo Bills, has shown itself to be a lot better against teams like the Falcons last week. Speaking of the Falcons at Seahawks. And when you look at the Falcons offense, I think generally speaking, you're probably most weeks going to start Cordarrelle Patterson. You're most weeks going to start Kyle Pitts. You're also probably going to start Drake London as well, even though you expect things, maybe a WR2 finish for Drake London. He is pretty much the only sure thing in this offense right now, which is pretty crazy as a rookie, but he has a 33% target share. He has 13 receptions, 160 yards, and a touchdown so far in his rookie campaign. Clearly has a rapport with Marcus Mariota, so I think you got to start Drake London if you have him. But Kyle Pitts, he has been, like, I know he has been underutilized in this offense, Matt, but it has been, like, I thought Kyle Pitts might be the tight end 1 on the year, and I'm sure a lot of people had very high expectations for him. He has been completely non-existent.
Probably the most shocking thing that I think we've seen this season is Kyle Pitts, because he had such a great year. He's tight end 37 right now.
That's so awful.
He is averaged in half PPR according to Fantasy Pros 2.9 points per week. Now, the Seahawks have given up the 9th most points to tight end. Okay, if Kyle Pitts is not a top 5 tight end this week, and especially with the comments that Arthur Smith made last week about this isn't fantasy football, we're just trying to win games. if he does not finish as a top 5 tight end this week, can we start a petition to get Arthur Smith fired?
I know, right?
This is ridiculous. Yeah. You have taken away the joy in watching Atlanta Falcons football because Kyle Pitts is a unicorn and you are using him like he is a hobby horse. Come on now, Arthur Smith. I think this is the breakout week for Kyle Pitts. I don't think he's going to go quietly. I'm going to go bold here. Kyle Pitts, 7 catches, 107 yards and a touchdown.
Oh, I like it. Okay, I like the way you think.
A lot of sevens.
A lot of sevens. I hope he does well. If he doesn't do well against, of all teams, the Seattle Seahawks, I think you got bigger problems on your hand. For the Seahawks themselves, I'll make it simple. I'm not starting anyone other than Lockett and Metcalf, and even those guys are maybe at best WR3s. Until we see more reliable play from guys like Geno Smith, you just can't have too much faith in them when it comes to their place in your wide receiver pecking order.
Well, not only that, but it was DK Metcalf that was the better of the two receivers in week one, and then Tyler Lockett blows up for, I believe it was over 100 yards last week. It does feel like one of those situations. It's not like when Russell Wilson was at his peak, because I don't think he's at his peak now. We'll talk about that later. But I don't think that we're in a situation where you can trust either guy. Like Lockett had 4 targets in week one. He turned that into 3 catches for 28 yards. But he had 9 catches for 107 yards last week against San Francisco in a game that they had to throw the ball a lot. I think that this game is, I think they're going to have to throw, because I believe that the Falcons offense is better than we anticipated it was going to be. Hell, they almost came back against the Rams last week, and we expect the Rams to be a lot better defensively than they've shown. But the Falcons, they're going to be in games, and I think that the Falcons defense is part of the reason why they're in games. I'm okay with starting both Lockett and Metcalf, but yeah, after that, do you trust any of these running backs? No. Even Noah Fant has been basically nothing in an offense where you thought he was the clear tight end one, and they just rotate guys like crazy. So yeah, start those two guys, and then if you are in a pinch and you have Justin Herbert and he doesn't play, check on Geno Smith's availability in your leagues if you're able to pick him up as a free agent, and then you can start him in. He's kind of a mid-range back-end QB2, but there is some upside because of the Falcons' defense.
Yeah, the 10th worst defense as far as passing yards, 541 yards allowed so far, and fantasy points per game, 20.3 to the quarterback specifically. So it's not a terrible maybe back-end or super flex 2QB league play. Packers-Bucks, okay, this one will be quick, Matt, because look, you're going to start Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady most weeks. I know you said you'd probably start other guys over Aaron Rodgers, but still, like, I think most people are going to start Rodgers and Brady. Most people are going to start Aaron Jones, Dylan, and Leonard Fournette. It's the wide receivers for both teams that have some question marks. Alan Lazard, probably a flex. Sammy Watkins not going to play. Are you really starting any other pass catchers other than Alan Lazard? And for the Bucks, I mean, so many guys are game time decisions that I'm not sure you can really rely on really any of them, maybe beyond Rashad Perriman. And I'm not sure how many people really want to start Rashad Perriman even in week three.
And Rashad Perriman's even banged up. Like, he's probably going to play, but he's banged up. The guy I think I would lean on if I had to start a Bucks wide receiver, it's probably Russell Gage at this point. But you, as I say that, you know, Breshad Perryman's going to have 100 yards and 2 touchdowns today just because. But there are lots of QBs that I like better than Brady and Rodgers this week. I like Goff better, Cousins, Carr, Mary. I like Marcus Mariota better, Carson Wentz. And I actually even like Jimmy Garoppolo better than both of those guys this week, only because of how banged up both of these teams' wide receiver cores are. And I think both defenses are pretty good. I know the Packers haven't quite shown it. And I mean, they had the Bears last week, so it's not quite the same thing. But Aaron Rodgers Aaron Rodgers against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 5 games for the last 5 games. The last one came in 2020. He's averaged 242 passing yards, 1.6 touchdowns per game. And this is the key here, Show, because we know Aaron Rodgers does not throw a lot of interceptions, period. He has thrown 1.8 interceptions per game in his last 5 against the Bucks.
Yeah, so a lot of potential spots to worry about for Aaron Rodgers. But again, if you took Aaron Rodgers, you might not have another option. But still, you did say Jimmy G might be one of those options to start over at Rodgers. That does take us to 49ers at Broncos, the Sunday nighter. And Jimmy G, again, I'm not sure if you want to start him this weekend. But having said that, he is a guy, and again, in 2QB Superflex leagues, you probably have no choice but to start. The 49ers offense just looked like it moved better with Jimmy G behind the wheel, but you're still starting Jeff Wilson Jr. maybe as an RB2, I would say. Debo Samuel, WR2, and George Kittle, if he goes. He did practice a lot this week. If he goes, he will be Jimmy G's safety net. I believe he is playing. That's right?
Yeah, he's playing.
Okay, so there you go. So if that's the case, then you boot Kittle up as a TE1 and don't look back, because there is, you would imagine that the presence of Jimmy G does make Kittle a lot better after not playing so far this season. And for the Denver Broncos, Russell Wilson, Javonte Williams, Cortland Sutton, all guys you're playing. Jerry Jeudy, it looks like he will give it a go after injuring the shoulder last week. But Jerry Jeudy, just because of the injury, I'm going to be cautious with him and label him as a higher end flex, maybe a WR3, just until we know he is 100% good to go.
Yeah, and if he's not, you can check on KJ Hamler's status in your leagues, because he would likely be the next man up. I don't really trust anybody else. I mean, maybe Albert O gets a bump, but the Niners have been the most stingy team against opposing tight ends. They have allowed the least amount of points. He's not the answer. Hamler's a little bit more of a boom or bust flex option if Jeudy can't go, but I'm certainly checking to see if there are other options. The issue, of course, is the Sunday nighter, It being the Sunday nighter. I mean, maybe if you're in a pinch, you can look at Noah Brown, who we can talk about in the next game, which is the Monday nighter. If he's available, that could be a guy that you slide into your lineup late. But other than that, there won't be much out there. So maybe if you have a better option, maybe keep Jerry Jeudy out of your lineup. It looks like he's going to play, but we're still not 100% certain. This is a tough matchup for Russell Wilson as well. And he was not good last week against the Texans.
Yeah, he was bad.
I anticipate that he is going to struggle again against the 49ers here.
Russell Wilson has a 16-4 record against the 49ers in his career. It's a fantastic winning percentage. He has not always had good fantasy football days. Like last year in two games against the Niners, he had 22 points and then 17 points, which in those particular weeks, good for QB10 and QB15. So like decent days last week, but I do agree with you. Russell Wilson has been a little up and down so far this year after we both had him as a top 10 QB by the end of the season. So we'll see if that picks up. You did mention Noah Brown and the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys Giants are the Monday nighter. Those games are always fun to watch from like a real life football perspective. Not always the producers of consistent fantasy points, and Dak Prescott certainly out for the foreseeable future, meaning Cooper Rush is going to be manning the quarterback position again. You're not starting Cooper Rush by any means, but how much does that affect, Matt, the rest of the Dallas Cowboys? I mean, you probably have no choice but to start CeeDee Lamb. You probably have no choice. I think it is unclear as to whether or not Dalton Schultz will play. If he doesn't play, you're not probably starting a lot of other guys in that offense. But boy, I mean, CeeDee Lamb, his value is taking a bit of a hit, and the same goes for Ezekiel Elliott.
Ezekiel Elliott has been awful through the first 2 weeks of the season. Tony Pollard's actually been the more productive of the two running backs. Not that I'm advocating, you know, to go out and be confident starting Tony Pollard, but the Giants defense has been a lot better. And I think that's why, like, Tony Pollard right now, RB21, Ezekiel Elliott right now, RB47. That's a big gap. And the playing time is starting to close a little bit. And so that's where the concern lies. Listen, CeeDee Lamb's super talented. And I think if you can go out and try and acquire CeeDee Lamb and redraft, he's going to obviously cost you a lot less than he would in Dynasty, of course. But even if somebody soured on him in Dynasty, I would be going out and trying to get him, because he's too good to not be good, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah. So I'm okay with starting CeeDee Lamb in that spot. After that, like if Dalton Schultz can't go, fire up Noah Brown. There's a chance that Michael Gallup plays, but I don't know what that snap count's going to look like. I know Noah Brown's going to play. He clearly has a relationship with Cooper Rush, and we saw that last week was pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know that you want to roll the dice on Michael Gallup, specifically on a Monday night when he hasn't played all season. Like, if this was a 1 p.m. game or something, I might say, okay, maybe there's a chance you might roll out Gallup, but if you don't want to wait until the very last game of the week and then have him not play if you're relying on that. So just keep that in mind. I would not pin your hopes on Michael Gallup. I think he's very talented. Don't get me wrong, but it's just you don't want to be risking that at the very last game of the season. And to wrap up on the Giants, we have 2 minutes left here, Matt. You're starting Saquon Barkley. I think Sterling Shepard has done enough now to be considered as a flex, but you're basically not starting anyone else. And Kenny Golladay, real life, might be one of the biggest free agent busts in recent memory.
Yeah, Kenny Golladay played two snaps last week. Like it was pretty pathetic. Outside of Saquon Barkley, I'm not really starting anybody with a lot of confidence. What I will say is, if Wandale Robinson is available in your leagues, I would go out and try and get Wandale Robinson. He's probably free in most redraft leagues, only because Richie James has been the number one receiver for this team through the first 2 weeks. And that's the role, much like Rondale Moore is going to take over that role from Greg Dortch, I would assume Wandale Robinson is going to do the same from Richie James. So go out and get Wandale Robinson where you can, because I think that's going to be a really good acquisition for you as the season rolls on once he's healthy.
That does it for our start sits here on the Fantasy Show. Just finishing under the wire, Matt. Good luck this week. I will say, not too much good luck. I hope that all of your not players not named J.K. Dobbins and Michael Pittman do just fine. Just okay.
This is going to be the week where Kyle Pitts breaks out just because I'm playing you. You know that, right?
Probably. That's probably exactly what's going to happen. Hey, if you're right, I think a lot of fantasy owners will be more than happy given what the production of Kyle Pitts has looked like so far this season. But Matt, good luck this week, and I'll talk to you on Tuesday for the Waiver Wire Pod.
Yeah, have fun this weekend, everybody. And don't forget to get those questions in at SNSALLI at MattyMar89. We'll be here to answer your questions up until game time.
That's Matt Marchese. I'm Sho Ali. You've been listening to The Fantasy Show again. Text us at 590-590. Name and location on the People's text line. We'll get to all of your news and notes, all of your start sit questions before the 1 p.m. kickoff. But again, thank you for being alongside us on The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.